Chapter 3. How Fred got this job in the first place. Fred had taken the science tripos, and at a gathering for those who had been awarded a first-class degree, he had met Professor Flowerdew. There had been music and refreshments in the open air, ruined by a downpour, as often happens in Cambridge, where the rainfall is believed to be low and risks are taken again and again. Everyone had taken refuge in the Cavendish, where Professor Flowerdew, who did not like parties, still less when they were called gatherings, had been all the time. He was just retreating from the physics laboratory, and with one melancholy sideways movement of his head, he invited Fred upstairs to his office. This, like most of the rooms after all, was dark and reached by a dingy corridor. The walls were covered with photographs, and more photographs were pinned onto the desks. Fred sniffed the air. It was his ambition to have one of these days an office in the Cavendish. Flowerdew sat down at the desk, leaving the stool near the microscope, and said to Fred, "What do you know about me?" "I've only just finished my first degree," Fred replied. "Truly, I don't know anything." "Well, I know something about you. Yes, something. I know you're a bright fellow. I know you come from a rectory family. They say that at the Cavendish we have to make do with apparatus knocked up out of cardboard and string. But if you come from a rectory, you'll be used to economies." "It's a great thing you've even heard of me at all," said Fred. "And what next?" "I had thought of asking Professor Wilson whether I could work with him. I mean, in some capacity. I could help with the photographic plates, perhaps. He was my tutor for advanced practical physics."
C.T.R. Wilson, a very good, very patient Scotsman. Could you read what he wrote on the blackboard?"
"Usually not. He used to write it with one hand and wipe it off at the same time with the other. But if I had the chance to study his methods..."
"You want to assist him with the construction of his third cloud chamber. You want to photograph the alleged tracks of ionizing particles."
Fred turned red.
"These are wonderful years in Cambridge. You are attracted towards atomic research?"
"I've seen Ernest Rutherford walking into the Cavendish," Fred cried. "I heard his lectures. It all hangs together. If it works, it must be true."
"Well, well," said Professor Flowerdew. "I expect it will hang together for a considerable time, perhaps 60 or 70 years. The belief that nature or an invisible God created the world and assigned everything for a purpose lasted very much longer than that and worked reasonably well. But we've given all that up because we've got no evidence that God or nature exists."
"None at all," said Fred. "That has to be left to faith. After all, you can only reason from what you can observe."
"Quite so," said Professor Flowerdew. "But atoms are unobservables."
He pointed to one of the photographs on the wall.
"Who is that?" he asked.
Fred floundered, looking at the bearded, enigmatic faces, one of which had been circled in red ink. There were distant men in frock coats and top hats standing outside a building he did not recognise.
"That is Ernst Mach, a photograph taken in Vienna on the occasion of his retirement from the University Chair of Physics. I used to be in correspondence with him. Now I no longer am. It was from his lectures and his science of mechanics that I came to understand the folly of basing any kind of scientific research on unobservables. Mark, don't forget, is a very deeply respected physicist. He has established, among many other things, the relationship between the speed of objects and the local speed of sound.